This is Fresh Air. One of the funniest series on TV is one that only subscribers to HBO can watch. Being on cable limits the viewership, but it increases the freedom of the writers. My guests are the creators and main writers of Dream On, David Crane and Marta Kaufman. The program has something of a gimmick. The main character's inner thoughts are illustrated with short clips from old TV shows and movies. But it's the quality of the writing and acting that makes the show stand out. The storyline often satirizes the media. Martin Tupper, the main character, works for a trashy book publishing company. His best friend, Eddie Charles, hosts a TV talk show. A lot of the comedy comes from Tupper's frustrations as a divorced father. Dream On began its third season last week with a satire of politics and sex scandals. As the episode begins, Tupper is at a bar with a date, and they're talking about politics. Listen for an old TV clip with Ronald Reagan.
I cannot believe it. I cannot believe what you're telling me.
Come on. It's not like I shot Kennedy or something.
How can you not vote? People in Uzbekistan are fighting and dying for the right to vote.
Then I probably shouldn't move there. Look, Nedra, I always mean to vote. You know, I do. It's just that it's always on a Tuesday, and you know, you pretty much know who's going to win, and I don't know. I just got tired of voting for some guy you wouldn't want to see running the country anyway, you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nancy, Ward Bond, and I are joined tonight by Tommy Nolan. And we think Tommy is best qualified to tell the story of a turkey for the president.
You know, I was going to have sex with you tonight, but now I don't even want to have dinner.
I voted for Carter twice.
I hold you personally responsible for everything that's wrong with this country today.
It's never a good thing in a relationship.
Now, let me find out how you came up with the concept for Dream On. Why don't one of you tell a story?
This is quite a long, circuitous story. It began way before we were involved with the project. MCA has this library of old 50s anthology television shows they wanted to do something with.
And they basically were looking for writers to come up with an idea. And we were one of hundreds, we're told, who were basically called in, and they showed us 3 minutes of footage, just a compilation of clips, and said, what would you do with this? And apparently they'd exhausted a lot of other avenues.
This is after a year and a half of them looking for writers, and we were these two New York theater writers that they pulled in. And
basically, they had pursued game shows and guys in a fraternity looking at TV and
Saturday Night Live kind of things with
sketches.
Clips and sketches and apparently we were the first ones to turn it into an actual half hour comedy.
And basically we said that if you're going to use these clips, they can't be the show. That if we use them, they've got to be the icing on the cake.
Because otherwise, why would people tune in week after week? The only reason people do that is because they care about the core characters.
So we came up with this idea about this guy who had grown up on too much 50s television and had problems with his ex-wife and his kid and his job, and it's because he was sort of influenced and warped by all the values that he picked up on the television. And the clips sort of function as his thoughts, like little thought balloons.
Now, let me ask you about the characters that you created. Once you came up with the idea that the clip should function as thought balloons of this character who watched too much TV when he was growing up, then you had to create the character. And let me ask you to describe the character you created of Martin Tupper.
Martin is
flawed, neurotic.
Yeah, flawed is, I think, the most important thing. We said, so many characters on television, particularly the lead character, tend to be perfect, or if they're not, the flaws are all sort of
minor, minimal.
Yeah, and so we said, all right, let's come up with a character who can really screw up, and not always get off the hook at the end.
One of the advantages, this is sort of a side thing, but one of the advantages of being on HBO is that you can get away with that. There's no network telling us, but people aren't going to like him. We can make him as flawed as we are, and I think audiences do like him and do identify with him. I certainly do.
Now, the main character, Martin Tupper, is recently divorced, and his wife is married to Dr. Richard Stone, who is the perfect person. I mean, this is the person that a divorced person would just have to resent absolutely and utterly. This is the person who replaced you, and they are absolutely perfect. My favorite example of the scripts, I think this is one of your scripts. This is an episode where Martin Tupper is doing a book interview show, a really cheap book interview show on a cable station. And his show is on, and he calls up his ex-wife, and he says, did you see it? And she says, oh, no, I had to watch Nightline. You know, Richard was a guest.
Right, again. Yeah.
Right.
That's...
Richard is a great source of humor.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun with him. I mean, he's, you know, you rarely have an off-screen character who you can do so much with. I mean, we can always pretty much count on a Richard joke somewhere in a script. If Judith is going to be there.
Which
this year he's, you know, in the
I don't know, this year we've
opening,
got
he was the sexiest man alive from People magazine. He's on a box of Wheaties. I mean, he's...
He's in the space shuttle. I mean, pretty much, we keep surprising ourselves with how far we can actually go without having to say, oh, that's ridiculous. Like, well, no, not for Richard.
How did you come up with him?
It made us laugh. Yeah, and pretty much what you were describing, trying to come up with a character... who he's always fighting against, but he never even sees. We never even see. He's always there to make Martin frustrated and feel small, and would help us feel for Martin. Because I think everyone's got to have someone like that in their lives. It doesn't have to be, you know, an ex-wife's husband. It can be someone from high school. Just that person who just always...
Does better.
Are either of you divorced?
No.
No.
You're not married to each other, are you?
No.
Most people think we are, but we're not.
When I got married, people congratulated David.
But you didn't marry him.
No, I didn't marry him. I love him dearly, but I see him enough.
Actually, Marta married my roommate. I was living in New York and had a roommate, and Marta came over today to work and met him, and it's a very cute story.
We also do musicals, and my husband is our composer as well. It's a very tight little group.
Wow. It sounds like a little sitcom on its own.
Yeah.
We're
a little too sticky. I don't think it's something I'd want to watch.
We wouldn't write it.
No.
If you're just joining us, my guests are David Crane and Marta Kaufman. They're the creators and head writers of the comedy series Dream On, which is on HBO. We'll talk more after a short break. This is Fresh Air. David Crane and Marta Kaufman are my guests. They're the creators and writers of the HBO comedy series Dream On. What can you do on cable TV that you can't do on network TV?
Oh, so much. You have the freedom, because HBO asks specifically to do things that you can't do on network. That is a wonderful thing to be able to look at with every script. How can I make this script something you cannot do on network, either by the way I tell the story, language, nudity, but most important, is that we can tackle subject matters that we would not be allowed to tackle on network.
Yeah, we have a script coming up, a show coming up, I guess in about a week and a half, about AIDS, and that was...
About a gay person with AIDS.
Yeah, and I like to think we dealt with it in a way that you wouldn't see on regular network half-hour comedies.
Now, one of the things you could do on cable that you can't do on broadcast TV is show naked breasts, and you do your share of that.
We do. Not just breasts. We also show...
male behinds.
Male behinds, absolutely.
We do. It's a source of irritation for me a little bit. It is something that is expected from us to a certain extent. And... we try very, very hard to always put it in a context, to have it at least be funny, but hopefully be dramatic or part of the dramatic
part of
line.
The story. It's not just there's a scene going on and they happen to be in a strip bar or something like that. That it's always rooted in what the story is. At least we shoot for that. We don't always achieve it, but...
Yeah, well, I imagine that you get two different kinds of complaints about the nudity on the show, one being from people who are just offended at nudity, period, and the other being from people who are offended on a kind of political level, you know, that it's exploiting women to get ratings.
The latter are the ones that bother us.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely, because it's the one that I think we are uncomfortable with. I feel that if it is the one thing I have to do to be able to do a show like this on cable television, I will do it because we get to do all these other wonderful things. We get to do an episode about marijuana where Martin finds a joint in his son's room.
And after giving him the speech,
he ends up smoking it.
And getting caught by his son and then dealing and then having a real heart-to-heart talk about drugs with his kid in which there aren't easy answers and you don't just have... We had some great clips of Nancy Reagan, though, and so...
And you would never be able to do... I don't think you could do in a half-hour comedy on network television an episode about those of us who grew up in the late 60s and 70s, what do we say to our children when we did the drugs? What do we say to them?
Mm-hmm.
So it's things like that that really interest us, and I guess the trade-off is that, yeah, sometimes we have some fun with nudity or language, and that's okay.
The language is actually very useful. It's really nice to be able to have our characters talk the way you talk,
mm-hmm.
the way one talks
in life.
The way we talk. When I said you, I meant you.
Oh, okay.
I missed the first season of your show. And did you have an actor change?
Yes.
We did.
The Eddie Charles character changed?
Yeah, Martin's best friend changed from the first season to the second.
What happened and how did you write around that?
Well, what we did was in the opening of the second season, we had the character go in to have his eyes done, some plastic surgery on his eyes. And when they took the bandages off his eyes and he looked in the mirror, he said, "Do I look different?"
And everyone says, "No,
no you look
the same.
Younger."
He's going, "Really? I don't look any different to you?
A little taller, maybe?"
And everyone goes, "No, you look the same, pretty much." And that seemed to be the fastest way of dealing with the situation.
That's really clever. What were the alternate ideas you came up with?
Oh, not saying anything.
Just sort of doing it. You know, we just felt like we had to, for the people who do watch the show, we had to do something. And we didn't want some long-winded explanation. And we didn't want him to somehow his old best friend to leave his life and some new remarkably similar best friend come into it.
And also, for me, part of it is because the show is a little bit satirical about television. It seemed fun to take this one step further and make a joke on our own show.
Throughout the series, you've got the clips from the old TV shows and old movies being used as thought balloons for what the main character's thinking. Are you familiar with everything in the archives that you have access to?
We are familiar with about 250 half hours.
Right. We started out knowing it. I mean, when we start first season, we watched everything, but you reach a point where we can't keep up with it.
We have a research staff that that does know just about everything. And when we're writing a scene, we'll get to a moment in a scene, we'll say, well, at this moment, the perfect clip would be, and we write what we think the ideal clip would be, and then they go.
Right. Like it could be some guy. We said, can we have a guy screaming, get out now.
And then they go and pull out of the computer, because almost everything is logged, the best get outs they can find. And they bring us in a stack of 10 or 12 get outs and a couple ideas of their own for the moment. And they bring it in and we look at it and then we pick one. The first season, we would watch things and say, God, we have to use that somewhere in an episode. In the first season, we after watching about 50 or 55 of these, we realized in the 50s, everybody drank coffee all the time.
Right, day and night. And so we decided, let's do an episode where Martin, because he thinks he's had a heart attack, has to give up caffeine. And we would then do these, after he's given it up and he's going through
withdrawal.
He would have these long clip runs of all these characters going, coffee, would you like some coffee? Here's some coffee, have some coffee. And that was probably the only time that I can think of where...
The clip came first.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What exactly is in the archives that you have access to?
GE Theater, Jane Wyman Theater, Heinz 57 Playhouse, Schlitz Playhouse.
And a lot of old... Universal movies we've just started to access, and those are amazing because we have some
Frankenstein,
and also some B movies and some tremendous movies, some old
Destry Rides Again, Shadow of a Doubt,
The Lady Eve. So that we're really starting to shift more toward the movies and having a lot of fun with that.
With GE Theater, didn't Ronald Reagan host that?
Oh yeah,
we got a ton of Ronald Reagan clips.
We have Ronald Reagan. And Nancy, in an episode called A Turkey for the President.
In which Ronald and Nancy play American Indians on a reservation raising turkeys.
You actually used a clip of that in the Bimbo show.
Oh, right, yes. Right. The first clip of the episode is Ronald Reagan introducing that show.
Oh, I wonder if he's seen it.
I don't know.
My guess is no.
But it's pretty outrageous stuff. I mean, when you look at it, and you've got a clip of Ronald Reagan explaining all the wonderful things the government has done
for the American Indians.
It's just, you know, you have to use it.
David Crane and Marta Kaufman are the creators and main writers of the HBO comedy series Dream On. It runs Saturday nights. This is Fresh Air.